The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
Hello, this is Dane Wigginton for GeoengineeringWatch.org Radio, the weekly edition for Global Alert News for November 5th, 2016. Here's a question for the day. How long can the current course of the human race continue before total collapse of the house of cards on which our current reality has been constructed? How long before this occurs? Humanity's painted itself into a very deep, dark corner. Very soon, this reality will be evident to even the most ardent deniers of that reality. What can we do to make a difference at this late hour? First and foremost, denial must be abandoned. We must face the full unspun reality head on. Get educated on the frontline facts and help to wake those around you. That's what this show is all about. A few announcements before moving on to the frontline update on the most dire issues we face. Again, this show is a one-hour commercial-free news program. It's about the most dire and harsh truths that we face that the majority don't yet want to hear about. This show is broadcast on KQMS throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 99.3 FM, and 105.7 FM. Recordings of this show can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under radio sections, top stories, and recent, and on the KQMS archives. Also, the PRN Radio Network along the East Coast rebroadcasts this show as well. And you can use a call-in phone number anytime to listen to any one of the last five shows anytime you want over the phone. That call-in number is 1-701-719-0991. That's a call-in podcast for the show. Again, you can pick any one of the last five shows, 1-701-719-0991. Silent Epidemic, the Essential Watch Vaccination Education DVD. Again, available at Orchard Nutrition and Reading Radio for free. All we ask, that's paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org, all we ask is that you put that DVD to use, and if you find the data valid, which you will, everything is backed up on that DVD, share it with others. Our children's future is at stake, and not just our children, because adults are being vaccinated as well. It's Essential Watch DVD. The Vaxxed documentary, also Essential Watch, only $4. I believe the Vaxxed group charges $4. And that money, by the way, goes to pay for the outreach that Vaxxed is doing. They're touring around the country, putting on events, and that takes money to do. So this is part of what helps them to be able to do that. You can watch Vaxxed again for, I think, $3.99 for the full movie online. Also, the 9/11 Architects and Engineers DVD, available for free, Orchard Nutrition and Reading Radio. Another Essential Watch. If you promise to put that DVD to use, it's free. And this is 2,700 architects and engineers stating on the record, risking their careers and their lives, perhaps, that the official narrative for 9/11 is completely, utterly, and totally impossible scientifically. If you care about your country, if you care about your future, if you truly claim to be patriotic, you have a responsibility to view this kind of data, period. One more announcement. Reading Library event today, starting at 1 o'clock. We're changing the itinerary a bit because there's too much unfolding. We have to get to the hard frontline data as fast as we can. So the presentation from former CIA decorated officer Kevin Shipp will be presented at 1 o'clock at the Reading Library. Full Q&A will be at the end of the presentations for the day. I'll be there. But starting at 1, we'll start with a full PowerPoint presentation by former decorated CIA officer Kevin Shipp. It's a recorded presentation. And there'll be smaller, short video clips after that of the most hard-hitting frontline information right now regarding the surfacing corruption within our government, regarding the servicing data with scenarios like the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, that is now systematically blocking any information from releasing, even from whistleblowers within their organization, that they have been hiding and falsifying vaccination safety data for decades. If you care, again, you have a responsibility to look at this information. So starting at 1 o'clock, we'll air the CIA officer presentation and smaller videos between with question and answers in between, and at the end of the full presentation, I'll be there to answer questions. Free materials at this event, free vaccination DVDs, free 9/11 DVDs. Show up, find out what's happening. We have a responsibility to face the truth again head on. It's the only way we're going to change the direction that we're on. Legal effort update. The legal effort to expose and halt climate engineering is ongoing. In Canada, there was a maneuver by the government to try to dismiss the case. That's been refuted by the attorneys, and that refutation is processing right now. There is no indication that case will be released. And so the wheels are turning in Canada. In the U.S., the 60-day notice, which is required before legal filing can commence, has expired. So, not expired, but it's run its course, I should say. So now we are in a position to file legally. That 60-day notice must be given before a legal complaint can be filed. So those wheels are turning. The complaint continues to be drafted and refined, and we hope to have it filed very soon. There's a number of attorneys working on this. We just had a new one join our cause. So this legal effort in the U.S. is processing, will likely take place in Northern California. And on that note, to continue raising awareness, we've had two more buses added to the Reading, RABA, that's the public transportation buses, that have a Stop Climate Engineering banner on the side. To continue to put this in front of people's face, because they don't seem to be looking up. They're too busy on their iPhones. They're too busy watching football games to understand that their planet and the climate system is being systematically torn apart, not just by climate engineering. Human activity has done immense damage, and those who deny that are not helping us to change course. They're simply fortifying the existing system. That's not helpful. But climate engineering being mathematically the single greatest assault of all, we must expose it, we must halt it. It's up to all of us to do that. Back to the current update on what's happening with the vaccination issue, which is coming to a head. Populations waking up, power structures digging into its attempt to make sure that we all get these shots of toxins, mercury, aluminum, that are harming our neurological systems, our immune systems, and our bodies as a whole. So here we have a headline on that note. Quote, an important witness in a case focusing on the link between vaccines and autism has been stopped from testifying. From that report, Thomas Frieden, the director of the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, has stopped CDC whistleblower Dr. William Thompson from giving evidence on scientific fraud and destruction of evidence by senior CDC officials in a recent case. Continuing from that report, attorneys Brian Smith and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. of Morgan & Morgan have wanted to have Dr. Thompson testify in a medical malpractice case to explain how the CDC committed scientific fraud in a series of studies which found no link between vaccination and autism. So what does that mean? It means that the CDC studies that claimed there was no connection between vaccinations and autism are fraudulent, completely fraudulent, and the CDC is stopping the scientists from testifying. This is the system we have. It's not designed to protect us. It's not designed for the public welfare. There's a much darker, deeper agenda going on, much of it related around profit. But it appears there's even more to the equation than that. If you want to know what's going on, you have to investigate. Final statement from this report. After denying the request, Dr. Friedman from the CDC said, Dr. Thompson's deposition testimony would not substantially promote the objectives of the Centers for Disease Control, or the HHS, the Health and Human Services Division. What does that mean? It would not promote their objectives. What are their objectives? If exposing the truth about scientific fraud with vaccination studies that claim the vaccinations were safe when they're not, and exposing that does not promote the objectives of the CDC, shouldn't that be a massive red flag for all of us? If you're a parent and you're listening to this broadcast and you know about these documentary films that are available, Silent Epidemic and Vaxxed, and you're not taking the time to watch them or requesting your pediatrician to watch them as well, You're betraying your children, period. That's not what a loving parent does. Pick up a free vaccination DVD, The Silent Epidemic, again at Reading Radio, Orchard Nutrition, and the Reading Library at the event starting at 1. And you can come and go to that event, by the way. You don't have to come and stay all day. You can come and go as you want. You can come by and just grab some materials and leave. You don't have to stay at that event. It's a very casual scenario. We simply want to expose data and get the dialogue going because the walls are closing in around all of us. On that note, AT&T, another headline. AT&T is spying on Americans for profit, new documents reveal. That's the headline from that report. The telecom giant is doing NSA-style work for law enforcement without a warrant and earning untold millions of dollars a year from taxpayers. How astounding is that, that AT&T is being paid by taxpayers to spy on the population? In reality, we know the central bankers can print whatever they want and pay for whatever they want. But nevertheless, are we going to accept this? Continuing from this report, now AT&T wants to buy Time Warner, which of course includes CNN, the news broadcasting station. Now, is this potential purchase made possible perhaps by the very funding from our own government for the spying on the U.S. population? Media consolidation has now rendered the U.S. population almost completely blind to what's really going on all over the world. The flow of information is now almost totally controlled, and the U.S. population so far doesn't seem to care. That needs to change soon, or we'll have nothing left to salvage. What other crimes are being committed by the completely out-of-control fascist state that we are now all living in? Concentration camp and human rights outrage in North Dakota. Mainstream media not covering much of this, certainly not the presidential candidates not covering this at all. Here's the headline. Outrage. Pipeline police strip-searched Native girl, threw her naked into a cell. From this report, as the protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline continue to escalate, the crackdown from law enforcement has grown harsher and harsher. It's because they're representing the fascist corporate America. Continuing, hundreds have been arrested by Morton County Police, many of them without charge, and had their civil rights violated by shockingly cruel police officers who are sexually humiliating their prisoners by strip-searching them and leaving them naked in their cells. Report goes on, when getting booked at the jail, they were all strip-searched, forced to squat and cough to demonstrate they had nothing hidden in their rectums. They were then put in orange jumpsuit suits. The treatment was the same for the chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, Dave Archambault, to a pediatrician from the reservation, Dr. Sarah Jumping Eagle, to actress Shailene Woodley, star of the films Divergent and Snowden, among others. Final statements from this report. The use of strip search for those arrested on trumped-up charges like trespassing and rioting is a clear intimidation tactic that shows the United States government still sees Native Americans as savages to be abused. And the corporate media has, of course, given a very biased, one-sided coverage of this situation. This is not from the report. This is my commentary. In South Dakota, this is to be expected given the corporate military-industrial complex sponsors. But I have a question. Why are some so-called independent news sources pumping out the same sort of coverage that sounds like it was written from the fossil fuel industry lobbyists? I was shocked to view an InfoWars video recently done that reported on the Dakota issue titled Dakota Pipeline Clash. This report from InfoWars sounded like it came straight from the fossil fuel industry PR firm. InfoWars went on and on about how safe and environmentally friendly pipelines were. Now, we just had another massive pipeline blow up, didn't we? Just had that happen. Happens all the time. And by the way, although there are less pipeline explosions than vehicle occurrences of accidents and toxic spills from trucking and trains, the pipeline spills are typically much bigger. So is it really better? Anyway, the InfoWars report went on to also state that the dogs who attacked the protesters were only defending themselves. Really? And to recap again what I stated last week about the InfoWars completely inaccurate and false reporting on the state of the climate, they're unfortunately pushing the global warming is a, quote, hoax narrative, which is also exactly what the fossil fuel industry would want them to push. For an in-depth report on the major global warming is a hoax disinformation event that InfoWars is, again, unfortunately supporting, see the posting of this event under the recent and top stories categories on geoengineeringwatch.org. It was posted yesterday. Why are accurate conclusions on the true state of the climate so important? Because anything less is very, very harmful to the critical cause of exposing and halting climate engineering. We can't build bridges with the climate science community if they won't come anywhere near the anti-geoengineering cause because of narratives like this. InfoWars does put out good information on a lot of subjects. I grant that. But I want to state again, a boat that's mostly watertight doesn't float. We need boats that are completely watertight. We need the whole truth. Not on some issues, but on all issues. Again, on that note, on the event I mentioned, already there's some blowback apparently coming toward the event organizer, Ed Griffin. And Griffin just posted, this is a major, again, event in Phoenix, Arizona next month called An Inconvenient Lie about Global Warming. In fact, I think it's titled Global Warming is an Inconvenient Lie. So apparently there's some blowback already coming to the event organizer, Ed Griffin. And Griffin posted this from one of his followers. Griffin, you've got this wrong. Climate change is real. That's the headline of what he posted. And what does Griffin respond to this person who is concerned about sea level rise that's eating away at coastlines? Griffin responds this, that the ocean is not rising. The land is just sinking. How preposterous is such a statement? And who in the climate science community would come near the anti-geoengineering community if Griffin claims to be fighting climate engineering, which he's doing everything to actually harm the cause? Who would come near that community from the climate science community if that's their position, that sea levels aren't rising, the land is all just sinking? And why would someone pay $300 to $400 to attend such an event? And is that part of the reason the event is being held? Is it simply a fundraiser? No matter what sensationalized and patently false headlines have to be put out in order to get people to pay money to be given disinformation that might make them feel better, but that's not helping the cause of changing the course the human race is currently on, which leads to certain near-term total extinction. So what's this event all about? Again, if you want more detailed and very hard-hitting and shocking information, go to geoengineeringwatch.org and look for this article post underneath recent or top stories. Now, let's get on to the environmentalists, the so-called environmentalists. What are they telling to the population? Are they telling the truth? And unfortunately, they are not telling the truth. Leonardo DiCaprio and National Geographic have just teamed up to produce a new documentary that is little more than a pack of half-truths. And again, half-truths, or boats that are partly watertight, don't float. The film is called Before the Flood, and I viewed the whole film. I was sorely, sorely disappointed. The film was, in many ways, about Leonardo DiCaprio, and not so much about what's happening around the globe. It did expose things that are happening. There's no question about that. We have to sift the baby from the bathwater with so many sources of information, but the film was a very big disappointment to me. Certainly never mentioned climate engineering, the single greatest climate disrupting factor of all, not the only factor, as so many people want to convince themselves. They would somehow want to convince themselves that the atmosphere knows the difference between a particle sprayed from the back of an aircraft for solar radiation management programs and a smokestack. The atmosphere doesn't know the difference. And for those who think that climate engineering is the only damage being done to the climate, how can you possibly think that? When forests are being ripped down all over the globe, from boreal forests to tropical forests, the planting of palm oil plantations, which they did cover very well in the Before the Flood film, one of the things they did right. But the burning down of the forest, which is pumping unimaginable amounts of carbon into the air, the burning of about 4 billion gallons, 4 billion gallons of hydrocarbon a day, 4 billion gallons. It's 100 million tons of CO2 being put in the atmosphere every day. If you think that's not a problem, You're not living in reality. And let's look at the temperatures around the country. They're off the scale. We have the Weather Channel now finally having to address this reality, because they've done their best to avoid it. They've done their best to play up the chemically nucleated events that the geoengineers put out anytime they can. Anywhere there's moisture, they chemically nucleate it. We have this on radar. You can see bands of moisture that just flash out to frozen precipitation for no reason at all at above freezing temperatures so often. And when I say no reason at all, normally you would see drifting bands of precipitation perhaps flash to snow when they're moving over topography. It's called orographic enhancement. But when you see that happen, for example, some shots I just sent to an environmental group that we recorded, shots that we took a week ago over the Great Lakes, the very, very warm Great Lakes, drifting bands of rain just flashed out to snow. Now, why in the world would that happen? Because they're being chemically nucleated, and then it drifts back to rain again. And these chemicals all fall to the ground to be absorbed by the entire web of life. So when you have a documentary like Before the Flood from the quote-unquote environmentalists that leave out the biggest single climate disrupting factor of all, and then paint Pollyanna, pie-in-the-sky sort of notions that we can tech our way out of this with people like Elon Musk making batteries and massive battery factories, is that going to fix the problem? Does anybody think that batteries and the production of batteries is not highly toxic and detrimental for the environment? I'm sorry, but there's no easy way out of this equation. There is no silver bullet. And even quote-unquote renewable energy, which I live on and have lived on exclusively for 15 years, wind, hydro, and solar, it's much better than hydrocarbon. It's much better than being on the grid, much more environmentally friendly, but it's not a cure. It's an energy extension. That's it. And we live in a society that thinks, has been trained to think, that we can just burn up all the fossil fuel and magically switch to renewables and we'll all live happily ever after. That's not reality. Not reality. In fact, there's a population issue too, which I'm going to get to in a moment. I know that's not a pleasant conversation for many, because they also want to convince themselves that that reality is not reality. And that if anybody admits to that reality, you must be just like the power structure. And that's incredibly dichotomous, dogmatic thinking. A reality is what it is. And regardless of what other source might admit to that reality, like the power structure, who has been in many ways responsible for helping to create that reality by their practices, the power structure bears a great deal of responsibility for the dilemma we now find ourselves in, but so does the population that has refused to face the reality and has blamed everybody but themselves. And when we go about our lives purchasing, consuming, watching football games, playing golf and video games without paying attention to what's going on around us, the implosion of the environment, we're part of the problem. And that's the way most of the population is currently living. Now, again, we know we have environmental groups that are being unimaginably hypocritical in their total criminal denial of the climate engineering issue. Absolutely criminal. So there's plenty of blame to go around on all sides of the fence. And from Greenpeace to Sierra Club, 350.org, all of them, absolute hypocritical organizations that are worried about their 501c3 nonprofits and won't address the biggest climate problem of all, climate engineering. So this is something that needs to change if we're to have any hope of stopping climate engineering. And that is not going to change, again, if we have these groups perceiving the anti-geoengineering community in total denial of planetary meltdown when the record temperatures are everywhere. We all have to meet in the middle somewhere, and that can only happen if we all stand on the truth, the full truth, not half of it. Now, why are the planet's ice deposits so critical? It's important that we understand this, and I'll get on to some other headlines that relate to the geopolitical issues in a moment. But again, as I state in show after show after show, it doesn't matter what GDP is. It doesn't matter what the jobs rate is. Nothing matters if the planet doesn't support life. That's where we're headed. So why are the ice deposits so critical to the habitable planet we've known? Another question, how does the ice buffer the heat that builds up on our planet that has been caused by anthropogenic activity, which includes climate engineering, of course? What will happen is the ice deposits completely implode? And why won't the climate science community tell the whole truth? As I just mentioned, why do they continue to lie about the climate engineering onslaught? First, with the ice. If you put ice in a pan and put it on the stove, the water in that pan will stay cool until that ice is gone. because the ice is offsetting the energy buildup. And that's exactly what's happened here on planet Earth. The massive ice deposits at the poles and other locations have helped to absorb that excess energy, as has the ocean. The ocean's now superheating as well. And that's masked some of the energy buildup on the planet, by the way, which is building up at the current rate of 4 to 5 Hiroshima bombs per second. Been over that statistic before. Look it up. Don't believe me. Please don't believe anything I say. Please simply investigate. So the thermal energy released in a Hiroshima-sized nuclear bomb, we are building energy up on the planet at 4 to 5 of those explosions per second. How long do you think that can last? And the melting of the ice has absorbed some of that energy, that heat energy, thermal energy. But now the ice deposits are disintegrating, and now the warm-up of the planet is accelerating radically because of the feedback loops. Again, the ice over the Arctic has shielded the heat buildup of the Arctic Ocean. The Arctic Ocean is now heating. That's thawing methane on the seafloor. That methane is releasing, migrating to the sea surface, entering the atmosphere, covering the planet like a layer of glass, and that's why we're seeing such incredibly high nighttime low temperatures, which is not talked about much because the power structure doesn't really want the public to understand what's going on. Daytime highs are going up, and those records are being broken radically fast, but the nighttime lows are going up twice as fast because the heat is not escaping into the atmosphere anymore. The energy balance of the planet has been completely disrupted. Now, back to the climate science community and criticism of the climate science community, and they deserve a lot of criticism, a lot. Here's a headline from a study that reflects the truly pitiful state of academia in the climate science community. The headline is this: warming temperatures blamed for record low snowpack levels in the West Coast. This is referring to last year's levels. The study was just completed, but it's referring to levels in 2015. From this report, a new study reveals that the record low snowpack levels in the westernmost region of the continental U.S. last 2015 were most likely caused by high temperatures. Is that an infantile statement? Unbelievably infantile? Do we need a group of scientists to tell us that when it's warm, the snow melts? Is that what we're paying academicians for, to get degrees and to make such an incredibly ridiculously infantile, simplistic statement as that? If our population doesn't realize that warm temperatures melt snow, we're finished. And that's the kind of statement we're getting from academia. We're getting statements from 2 or 3 year studies from a dozen PhDs to say, yes, the ice is melting on Greenland and it's running into the ocean. Where else would it run? Into outer space? And this is what we get from academia. And we have academia that's not admitting to the climate engineering issue. And I understand, I know firsthand because I know some of these people, that they cannot address this issue without grave consequences. That's an absolute fact. But what I'm asking is the other academicians that are denying the climate engineering reality, and there's plenty of them because that helps their career, you are the lowest form of coward, the lowest form. And the public, we're doing our best at Geoengineering Watch to document every single academician who is towing the official narrative for the power structure by denying the climate engineering assault, which is nothing short of a slow kill for the entire planet. Not only tearing the climate system apart, but toxifying every breath we take in the entire web of life. So what does that do to our food and energy? Here's another headline. Food and energy demand drives 58% decline in global wildlife populations. New World Wildlife Federation report states. From that report, the top threat to wildlife is habitat loss and degradation, driven primarily by increasing demand for food and energy. According to the report, global food production is the leading cause for destruction of habitats and overexploitation of wildlife. Agriculture currently occupies approximately 1/3 of Earth's total land area, accounts for 70% of all freshwater use. Now, another half-truth by World Wildlife Federation. No mention of geoengineering, which is actually the single greatest cause of the protracted global droughts happening all over the world. Single greatest cause, filling the atmosphere with particulates that completely disrupt the hydrological cycle, that then poison the soils where the boreal forests exist, and other forests, tropical forests as well, that cause more dry lightning, which causes more forest fires, that shred the ozone layer, which is baking the trees from the top down, as the forests burn, puts soot in the air, which settles down on the ice and then melts the ice. These are all feedback loops. And so much of it related directly to climate engineering, and not a single word from World Wildlife Federation. Not a word. So again, half-truths are everywhere. We need to learn the real truth so we can sort through the half-truths. And this is nothing short, again, of total betrayal by the environmental community and environmental organizations. Total betrayal. And the climate science community that are denying climate engineering. Climate engineering, again, is weather warfare and biological warfare. All of it is nothing short of terrorism being carried out by our government and other governments around the globe. And they're all involved with this, as I've stated over and over. China and Russia involved as well. And no matter how adversarial these opposing powers are on other issues, they are absolutely colluding and cooperating on the climate engineering issue, all for their own various reasons, none of them benevolent. These governments around the globe are not benevolent in their participation in climate engineering, doing nothing but harm. So as we look up again, skies filled with heavy metals, polymers, chemicals that are used for the ongoing weather warfare assault. It's affecting the planet, the environment as a whole, to an unimaginable degree. And through the western U.S., we did get some October rain. But the ridiculously resilient ridge has again been established by the climate engineering cabal. This ridge of constant high pressure and the heat domes it creates is made possible by the network of global ionosphere heaters and the atmospheric spraying, which makes the atmosphere more conductive, by the way. These are electrically conductive materials which helps the ionosphere heaters, massive ground-based radio frequency transmitters like HARP, the facility in Alaska. It helps them to orchestrate the atmosphere by heating it. What happens when you microwave something? You heat it. And that's exactly what's happening, especially when you have electrical reactions like what happens in the ionosphere. When it's hit with these signals, causes an electrical reaction, heats the ionosphere to an immense temperature. But the radio frequency transmissions are also coming from countless other locations, even in our own cities and towns. The Gwin Tower facilities that are the source of these frequencies locally, most believe all the towers being erected everywhere are only for the cell phone repeating. If this is so, then why do the signals from these locations show up on precipitation radar? Why do these facilities have 10 times more power being supplied to them than is necessary for cell phone repeating? Please don't believe me. Investigate for yourself. And if you choose to try and convince yourself that none of this is true, that won't alter reality or the future we will all soon face. Again, so why is the ridiculously resilient ridge being put back? Storms are now being pushed to the north, a succession of storms where their moisture will be forced into areas that push toward the Arctic. The precipitation in these storms will be chemically nucleated. And this is the climate engineers are, they're ever more desperate to create the illusion of winter wherever they can. And as the Arctic implodes, and Arctic ice is at record lows right now. Arctic ocean temperatures, record highs. Arctic air temperatures, astounding record highs, in some areas 40 degrees above normal. So as the ice implodes, their chemical nucleated assaults are migrating further northward. There's no bank of cold air to push to the south with the orchestrated polar vortex that they've used in recent years to create the chemical cool downs and the headlines they want to confuse and divide the American population so that many who don't want to believe the planet is damaged can grab onto the kind of disinformation that I outlined earlier that are being put out by people that either have an agenda or are clueless as to the state of the climate. Clueless. There's only two possibilities when people put out information that the planet is either not warming or cooling. They're either completely oblivious to the reality around them, or they're lying for some other reason. You make up your own mind. Again, the feedback loops are now making the climate explosion exponential. And if you think technology will save us if we stay on the current course, think again. Now, back to the headlines that illustrate what our government does to any scientist that dares to try and tell the truth. We have another recent and glaring example. This headline, "Bee Scientist Fired and Blacklisted by Government Agencies for Attempting to Expose the Link Between Bee Die-Off and Pesticides." Now, again, we have a population that's been incredibly dumbed down. If they can't figure out for themselves that a pesticide designed to kill insects will kill bees also, How simple is that? From this report, picture being an award-winning scientist. You've just published your latest findings, and then your government tries to stop you speaking about your research. And when you refuse, you're suspended, then fired. This is what our government does to anyone who doesn't toe the line for whatever it is they want to do. First suspended, then fired. That's exactly what happened to a scientist after he discovered a link between bee die-offs and bee-killing pesticides. Again, should that be any surprise? And they fire him for stating the obvious? Final statement from this report. Now he's attempting to continue his research in the private sector, and the USDA is still harassing him by blacklisting him from USDA-funded research grants and pressuring other scientists not to collaborate with him. The USDA continues to harass Dr. Lundgren. And as long as that continues, it's sending a chilling effect to researchers everywhere. That's why nobody says anything. And the climate engineering issue is the biggest issue of all. And I know USDA scientists. I've stated on previous shows, I've been with them in the field doing soil pH testing, showing astronomical increases in the alkalinity of soils that is a direct result of the metals in our rain that raises the alkalinity of the precipitation. It loads the soils. Been in the field with these scientists taking tests that they knew were 10 to 12 times higher than the baselines which we had already, and they have never said a word. They won't say a word because they're only worried about their paychecks and pensions. And I would ask those scientists, how do you look at your children? How do you look them in the eyes and just toe the line for the power structure? And that's what most of academia is doing. And the ship will go down with all of us on it if people don't find their spine, people in academia, and stand up and make their voice heard. And I salute those academicians who are, those at the CDC and a few other locations that have had the courage, despite the consequences, to stand up and make their voice heard. People like Kevin Shipp, and I'm honored to call my friend, the CIA whistleblower. People like John Kerikou, who blew the whistle on the torture being carried out by our government, and who's the only one who went to jail? John Kerikou. These are the true patriots of our nation. Another headline, global study reveals huge number of children breathing toxic fumes, more than six times over safe limits, while billions are affected by air pollution that exceeds guidelines. From this report, air pollution is the world's single biggest environmental health risk. Now, why do I focus on climate engineering over and over and over? Because it's not only tearing apart the atmosphere, it's killing us. It's literally killing us because, mathematically speaking, the greatest source of particulate pollution in the atmosphere is climate engineering. And those are highly toxic particulates, highly toxic chemicals and metals. So why wouldn't we focus on that? Whatever else we face, if we can't breathe without sucking this in, it's affecting our immune system, our cognitive ability. And if we can't think clearly, if we're not healthy enough to face any challenge, game over. That's why climate engineering is so important. It's so much more. Again, to repeat this from this new study on global air pollution is the world's single biggest environmental health risk. And it's getting worse, with levels of toxic air rising 8% in the last 5 years. We're told our air is getting cleaner, aren't we? So how come the particulate matter is rising so much? Because the climate engineering elephant in the room goes unmentioned again and again and again. More than 3 million people a year die as a result of outdoor air pollution. That is a very conservative figure. Every other commercial is asthma and allergy, so forth. Don't people start to wonder at some point what that aircraft is doing above them that's covering the sky with an expanding trail? And again, with condensation, the big condensation trail lie. If you're in the coldest part in the world, you could be at 70 below in Antarctica, and your breath condenses, but does it hang around you like a cloud? If you walked a mile across an ice sheet, would you have a cloud hanging behind you? Of course not. You have to have a particulate in order for that cloud cover to remain, because it has a particulate, just like you see in an air show when aircraft are spraying, and that's exactly what's going on with climate engineering. That is the goal. Fill the atmosphere with light scattering particles like aluminum that we are all sucking up, and it's adding to an unimaginable list of human ailments. So there's another headline again about how harmful our air now is. Now, I want to get to another story. There's a new movie out called Inferno. And this is a very propagandistic film in a certain sense. And this is a subject that most people don't like and won't like what I have to say, but it's the truth and it needs to be said. Inferno and the overpopulation myth. Is overpopulation a problem? Now, there was a rebuttal to the Inferno film, and this is a report from, this is a excerpt from that rebuttal, and I want to then refute this rebuttal and the propaganda it's pushing. This was the headline, is overpopulation a problem? From the story, the economics of population size tell a different, less scary story. While it is certainly possible that some areas can become too crowded for some people's preferences, as long as people are free to buy and sell land for a mutually agreeable price, overcrowding will fix itself. Wow, what an incredibly ridiculously false statement that is. It will just magically fix itself. And how well does that kind of capitalism work when we have people buying land on which indigenous people lived, it's gone on for how long, and then kick them off the land? Is that equitable? Really? Or we have people buying land right next to another landowner and putting a fracking well on it and polluting the adjacent landowner's water source. Is that equitable? Will that help fix overcrowding? People who put out information like this are unimaginably mired in delusion and denial. The author of this article continues with this. The Inferno, again referring to the new Tom Hanks movie, the Inferno villain was concerned with world population. He stressed the urgency of the situation, but I don't see any reason to worry. Again, from the author. Is that reassuring? You just don't see any reason to worry without any basis to back up that opinion? The report continues. The author states, quote, Google tells me that we could fit the entire world population in Texas and everyone would have a small 100 square meter plot to themselves. And indeed, there are vast stretches of land across the globe with little to no human inhabitants. Now, what does that mean? Because we could fit everybody in the state of Texas, there's no problem with resource depletion, which relates to overpopulation. These are the most simplistic, naive, and suicidal tendencies to think in this manner. And I want to stress again, this doesn't mean that the power structure has a right to do what they're doing, which amounts to culling populations. That's exactly what they're doing. When you look at the full ramifications of what's happening to our populations, our ability to think, our IQs are going down, we're being injected with toxic heavy metals with vaccinations, we're being sprayed from above with toxic elements that combine with the toxic elements that are being injected with vaccinations, it's called synergistic toxicity, making the overall toxicity much worse. How can you look at this and not see that this is a form of eugenics? It is. And the power structure has no right to do this, and they've created this paradigm, helped to create it. So the first ones to walk the plank should be those in power. People like Henry Kissinger and others, and Brzezinski, who have created this paradigm of total insanity. But the population also must face reality. You can't continue to expand on a finite planet with finite resources. How simple is that? And when an author writes something like this, and it gets worse, let me finish this report, it gets worse. And anybody buys into this because they don't want to face reality, you're part of the problem if you buy into this. And admitting the truth is not to side with those in power. It's not the same. The truth is what it is. Those in power are criminals, but the truth is still the truth. So he goes on to say, if it's not land that's a problem, what about the, quote, means of subsistence, end quote? Are we at risk of running out of food, medicine, or other resources because of our growing population, question mark? In large capital bold letters, he states no. A larger population not only means more mouths to feed, but also more heads, hands, and feet to do the producing. Also, as populations increase, so does the variety of skills available to make production even more efficient. More people means everybody can specialize in a more specific and more productive comparative advantage and participate in a division of labor. Perhaps this question will drive the point home. And he goes on to state this. Would you rather be stranded on an island with two other people or 20 other people? What a ridiculous question that is. I guess that would depend on the size of the island, wouldn't it? What if you're on an island with one palm tree, the only source of food? How long do you think till those 20 people kill each other? And we have Easter Island for an example, don't we? A big, glaring example with 16 million palm trees that were an incredible food source, all of which the islanders cut down, and they resorted to cannibalism. And Easter Island is the metaphor for modern civilization. I bring it up again and again and again. And when you have people with this kind of mentality trying to convince us that if we were stranded on a deserted island, the more people, the better. What an incredibly, ridiculously false, unsupportable notion that is. People that have this dichotomous sort of delusional thinking. We have to face reality. We simply have to face reality. And the point I'm making, and I know that my covering this issue is not popular with people. They don't want to hear this. And somehow they'll equate me as being in the same mindset as the power structure, which is absolutely not true. But I'm simply stating we have to face reality. Same is true with the state of the climate. It is what it is. And trying to paint it into some other reality that doesn't really exist is not going to help us. Bottom line, we have to change course, period. And we have to start by saving the habitat we have left, and the single greatest destructive force to that habitat, destructive element, is climate engineering. Back to why I focus on that over and over and over. And if you don't believe that there's any resource depletion problem, you need to look at studies, and I have, in-depth studies, as to how much land it takes of a various sort of geography to sustain a single person. You can't put a person out on a 100 meter square patch of desert and think they're going to survive, which is what this author implies. There's much more to the equation. We have to stop thinking dichotomously and look at reality. I didn't cover a lot of individual headlines today because many of them are progressing along the same path. Global economy continues to implode, environmental die-offs in countless locations. We have a further convergence of the catastrophes that we all face. In regard to the upcoming election, and no matter how this goes, we're in for a rough ride. Of course, the continued release of information that reflects on the candidates and the choices we are given were absolutely horrible. So the whole system is broken, period. But I think it's clear our primary goal is to avoid World War III at this point. And it seems that part of this power structure is desperate for World War III to happen because the environment is imploding and they can't hide that much longer. Can't hide it. And that boils back to what I just covered. The delusional type of thinking that so many want to entertain and harbor and propagate. The climate's not damaged. There's no resource problem. There's no population issue. All of that is converging on us. It's up to all of us to face the full truth and try to change that direction. And I don't see that our candidates want to face that. But again, part of this election process, part of the power structure, wants to start World War III, and we must do whatever possible to avoid that, obviously. Now, headlines along the global conflict front, which is directly related to all the issues I've already covered. Headline, U.S. airstrikes on Iraqi army slowing advance on Mosul. So, the U.S. Air Force, why again and again and again and again are they striking the very people that are fighting ISIS over and over and over in Syria and Iraq? Ask yourself that question, because they need ISIS to create the chaos that will help them to carry out their agenda. They have spawned, fueled, and funded ISIS just like they spawned, fueled, and funded Al-Qaeda. And again and again and again, oops, the U.S. makes airstrikes that decimate the very forces that are fighting ISIS. Just happened again in Mosul. And if we weave this into the larger picture, I'm running out of time, I'm going to have to wrap this up. But if we weave this into the larger picture, back to the people that support regimes like Saudi Arabia, and they were supported heavily by the Bushes, Obamas, Clintons. The support for the Saudi Arabian regime goes way back. There's books written about the Bushes' involvement called House of Bush, House of Saud. Obamas have certainly paid homage to the Saudi Arabians. The Clintons absolutely have much dealings with them. So back to a story I touched on last week but didn't get to finish. Saudi uses role on UN Human Rights Council to cover up its abuses. We're supplying weapons to the Saudi Arabians. From this report, this week Saudi Arabia will be re-elected to the UN Human Rights Council for the fourth time. After another non-competitive election at the UN General Assembly, the head of the UN Human Rights Council, Saudi Arabia, how can that possibly be? Because we have criminal cabals that run the planet. Nobody says anything about Saudi Arabia's abuses. Nobody. Because we have the criminal crime syndicate that involves all the recent presidents running the planet. The system is completely broken. From this report, while serving its third term on the council, Saudi Arabia blocked international inquiries into its human rights abuses, punished Saudi Arabian citizens who worked in a collaboration with the Human Rights Council, and threatened to cut critical UN funding after being called out for violating children's rights. Continuing, given the kingdom's unrelenting record of repression, Saudi Arabia continued council membership is an affront to the Human Rights Council's mission of promoting and protecting human rights around the globe. It's no secret that Saudi Arabia's values are at odds with the council's religious intolerance, gender inequity, and a penchant for public executions are hardly the qualities that a UN had in mind for its council members. It's all a facade. It's all a giant facade. And that ought to be the biggest red flag we could have, that Saudi Arabia is the head of the Human Rights Council, while Russia's kicked out of the council, by the way. Can you really compare those two? I mean, I'm not saying Russia doesn't have a long list of crimes and inequities, as all countries do, but they get kicked out and Saudi Arabia gets put at the head of the council? And then Russia, of course, is blamed for everything, from the email leaks to a thousand other things. And this is really, they demonize whoever they want. It's 1 week it's Saddam Hussein, next week it's Libya, next week it's North Korea, then Russia. I mean, it's whoever's not towing the line for the Western hegemonic power is immediately demonized, and those who toe the line and cooperate and supply their oil get put on the heads of human rights councils, no matter how brutal they are. Running out of time, I can't cover this full Saudi Arabian story again, but I want to finish with this second headline. Saudi ambassador to the U.S. vows to keep hitting Yemen no matter what. From this report, as last week's annual Arab Policymakers Conference bankrolled oil companies Chevron, ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, and weapons contractors Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, geoengineering contractors, by the way, and Boeing, geoengineering contractor, the Saudi ambassador was the keynote speaker to these corporations. No surprise. The Saudi-led coalition bombing of Yemen had, quote, righteous legitimacy, they said, and a lot of support. Innocent people in Yemen, poorest country in the world. And would keep bombing no matter what it takes, he told the audience, which includes U.S. military officials as well as defense contractors and oil executives. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's all about. The U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition and U.S.-armed Saudi-led coalition has repeatedly targeted civilian sites, including homes, farms, factories, markets, hospitals, and children's schools. That's reality. Here's the bottom line. The human race has metaphorically leapt from the top of a 100-story building and believed it was taking flight. Most of the human race has convinced themselves, mistakenly, that there was some sort of sustainable future with societies that were built on the foundation of the military-industrial complex. But this was, is, and always will be a lie. There was never any sustainable future on the current course, only certain near-term suicide for the human race, and indeed all life on Earth, as I've stated over and over and over, and people still aren't waking up and willing to face this fact. We have to change course. The human race has been in virtual free fall and is now passing the second floor on the way to the sidewalk in regard to their 100-story leap. A face-first impact on the pavement will be the final destination for us all, metaphorically, if there's not a complete awakening and a complete course change for our species. All of us are needed to engage in the fight for the greater good. And that fight starts with the effort to fully awaken the sleeping masses to reality. What part will you play in the rapidly unfolding circumstances that will determine our collective futures, that will determine the future of our children? Investigate the frontline facts on the most critical issues. Properly prioritize your efforts and share credible information with all who will listen. Time is not on our side. Hope anybody listening in the Reading area will take the time to show up at the Reading Library. Starting at 1, you don't have to stay for any length of time. You can show up and grab materials, ask a few questions, go on your way. Help us to sound the alarm. Help us to wake the masses to what's unfolding around us all. Make your voice heard. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.